I'm going to be shooting this new Matthews Helium. It's the latest bow out by Matthews, and I'll let you come up and touch it later on, all right? While they're clearing the stage, I just wanted to introduce part of our family. Most of you have met them. I'd like them to stand up back here if they would. Mike, come and join them here. This is our son Scott, our daughter Becky, our niece Lisa, and all of their family, my dear wife Lois, and we've just been having a great, great time here, and just thank you for allowing us to join all of you. Yesterday, I was really blessed. I blessed my socks off yesterday when this little boy came up to me, and he says, "I'm almost seven." And I'm thinking a little bit, okay, he's almost seven, what's he getting at? And then it dawned on me. I says, "Well, do you think you could beat me in a race?" And he looked at me and he said, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, what makes you think you could beat me? And then he says, "You didn't prepare." Somebody here has got a really smart kid who's been really paying attention. My prayer for each of you, whether it's on your drive home or a week or 2 weeks down the road or a month or a year or whatever it might be, that the Lord would bring back to memory something about the race, something about the skunk. One of the lessons that we've been talking about, even perhaps today, on hitting the mark, and that the Holy Spirit might be able to interpret that and apply it in your lives. Today's lesson is based on Psalm 127. I encourage you to go back and read that when you get a chance. Psalm 127. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain." You agree? "Unless the Lord keeps the city, the watchman stands his watch in vain." And I am convinced that unless the Lord touches the hearts of our sons and daughters, we might even say that we parent in vain. For without the Lord, we are nothing. It goes on to say in verse 4, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so our children, our sons and daughters." And I've thought for many years, how are arrows like our sons and daughters? And right out on the ski trail, on Hemlock Trail out here, in the dead of winter, the Lord gave me seven different ways that our sons and daughters are like arrows. That gave some new meaning to this passage in Psalm 127. "For indeed, as we cast forth arrows to hit the mark, as moms and dads raising our sons and daughters in the Lord, allowing Him and encouraging them to allow God to touch their hearts, they too can hit the mark." And today the mark includes these seven balloons here, one for each of the seven principles that the Lord gave me out there on the ski trail. And then we're going to attempt to shoot that apple, that very apple up there, off of somebody's head. It could be yours. So wise, be thinking about whether you want to volunteer your husband, all right? Maybe parents have got a kid they want to volunteer, all right? I brought a lot of arrows with me, and I'm committed. I'm committed to hitting that apple. Now, if I should miss, you understand that the word sin in Scripture, the word sin is literally an archery term that means to miss the mark. So if I should miss, that means that I would be sinning right in front of all of you. So, Lord, I ask you, by your grace, that I might not sin against you today, and that I hit all of these balloons, and that I hit that apple. Now, my archery experiences started here at Fort Wilderness, over by where the soccer field is right now, and there were two people, Truman Robertson and his mom, Lida, and they were into archery big time, and Lida came down one day while I was shooting here at the archery range, and she took one look at my form, and she just shook her head. She says, "I'll tell you once, and then I'll show you once, and then you're on your own." So she told me how to shoot a bow. She got my feet all set up. She got my grip set up. She showed me how to aim and how to anchor and everything. She told me how to do it. And then she says, "Now this is how you do it." So she took the bow. And at about 40 yards, she drew the bow back and shot a dead bullseye. I understand she was still shooting bullseyes when she was 80 years old on her 80th birthday. And I'm thinking, that is really cool. Now, you understand that she used to shoot balloons out of Truman's mouth. Now he stood sideways, you know, with the balloon out here, as opposed to facing her. But they actually did that, and I'm thinking, I can top that. Let's do an apple off of somebody's head. So that's what we will do this morning. You with me? All right. You willing to stick out to the very end till we get the apple? And I'm telling you, I will. If I miss, I'll keep trying. All right? Now, first principle. It's the principle of design. Can I hear you say that? Just design is enough, design. As out there in the ski hill, I realized that arrows are designed in a particular way, and all arrows share that same common characteristic in that arrows are designed in such a way that they are long and straight and thin. Now, these are Carbon Express Maximas. They're 250s. They are graphite arrows, and they are guaranteed to be straight within a fraction of a decimal point within, 0.00005. I'm not sure what that means, but it means that these things are straight. All right, they're long and they're thin, and they're designed specifically to be shot out of this particular bow. They're matched to this bow, and I've tuned this bow so that these arrows come out flying straight. Now, unfortunately, when God designed me, he made me short, fat, and round. And I tell you, for the longest time, I did not like the way God had made me. I wanted to be long, straight, and thin. I wanted to be tall. I wanted to be thinner. I wanted to be stronger. But he also gave me these ears. Take a look at my ears. Maybe some of you had already noticed that I have really big ears. Had you? How many of you had noticed that I have really, see those hands going up? Yeah, they had noticed that I had really, really big ears. Now, as a kid, I did not like the design of how God had made me. But the truth is, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and the truth is, you are too, because God's design for each one of us is that he has made us the way he wants us to be. Accepting God's design for our lives relieves a whole lot of burdens that kids carry around. Unfortunately for me, I was short, fat, and round. And as a child, a cartoon came out by the name of Dumbo. You realize this really dates me. But there was this baby elephant who had big ears. And everybody ridiculed him and put him down because of the design of the way he was made. And people started calling me Dumbo. And they started teasing me, saying, "Let's see if you can fly. Flap those ears. and see. See if you can fly like Dumbo. And I couldn't. It took me the longest time to accept God's design for me. Now, you understand with your sons and daughters, some of them are long and straight and thin. And some of them are short and fat and round. And some of them have got little ears and some of them got big ears. It's all part of God's design because we are made in His image. And that is very good. It's the principle of design. Now, I brought, right here, I brought with, Ron brought it in this morning. This is one of the bows that Jay and Lida built back in the 1930s. They built bows during the Depression. They sold them pretty inexpensively. This is made out of one piece of wood, made out of Osage orange, and it has to be strung yet, but you can see the old string that's there. I think it'd be better that we not string it. But you see, this is a bow, and there were arrows that were cast from this, and Lida could shoot a balloon right out of somebody's mouth with this very bow. It is a far cry from this bow that I'm shooting today. This one, I think, was selling for probably about $2.50. This one sells for a little over $1,500. But I'm telling you, there's a place for both of them. Wouldn't you agree? Some of us aren't fancy bows. Some of us aren't fancy arrows. But according to God's design, I believe that He's got a niche for each one of us. So let's see if I can hit the mark with this particular bow that God's placed in my hand. It is the principle of design. Could you hold that for me? Okay. And a hush fell over the crowd. I'm going to try the orange one. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say ready, all right? And you say shoot. Okay? And that way you'll know when I'm going to shoot, okay? I'm ready. Whoops. First arrow out this morning and I've sent. Better this one, I suppose, than later on, all right? Well, when somebody misses the mark, when they sin, would you forgive me? All right. Would you give me a chance to shoot again? All right. And when somebody sins against you, okay, sins against you, misses the mark, would you forgive them? Yeah. All right. So if you'll forgive me, I'll try again. This is embarrassing. $1,500 bow and you can't hit a balloon. Okay. I'll try the orange one again. Okay. I'm ready. That's better. Okay. Very good. What's the first principle?
Design.
All right. Second principle is a principle of responsibility. Could I hear you say that? You see, we need to teach our sons and daughters to be responsible, to know and do the right thing. Could you hold this again for me? You're getting experience, right? When it comes to archery and arrows, you may see that the arrow does get bent out of shape as it leaves the arrow, as it leaves the bow. If I could show you a slow motion picture of this, it would look like a serpent coming off of that bow. And as it leaves the bow, then it has to straighten up if it's going to hit the mark. Don't push on any of those things. If it doesn't straighten up, it'll miss the mark. It will sin. You understand? All right. Now, I've got some bent arrows. They're great for shooting around trees. You just don't know which tree they're going around. And I'm thinking, for you and me, for even our sons and daughters, when we get bent out of shape, it's our responsibility to straighten up again. And if we don't, we're going to miss the mark. Now, I confess that there have been times, my wife will confirm this, that I've gotten bent out of shape. And instead of straightening up, instead of being responsible and confessing my sin and asking for forgiveness, I just go bend somebody else out of shape. I yell at my wife. She gets bent out of shape. She yells at the kids. The kids, you know, kick the dog, and the dog chases the cat. And pretty soon, you've had days like this where everybody in the whole family is bent out of shape. And before you know it, somebody gets wounded. It's our responsibility to short-circuit that whole thing. When we get bent out of shape, it's our responsibility to straighten up so that we can hit the mark. Now, I want you to watch carefully on this. I'm going to shoot another orange balloon. And on this one, when you say shoot, I want you to watch very carefully, and I want you to see how quickly this arrow straightens up again. You'll see it get bent out of shape as it leaves the bow, and then you'll see how it straightens up. Now, I'll tell you when I'm ready. I'm ready. Did you see it? Did you see it? Oh, come on. Didn't you see it get bent out of shape and then straighten up again? Well, I'm telling you, it ought to happen just that fast in our lives as well. When you get bent out of shape, don't even let the sun go down before you make things right and you get things straightened out again. It needs to happen that fast. It's our responsibility. Okay, third lesson. What's the first one? Second one? The third one is authority. It's understanding the role of authorities in our lives. Now, with arrows, they get bent out of shape, and they have to straighten back up again if they're going to hit the mark. But arrows also get out of line. Arrows coming out of a bow may fishtail, and they may whip back and forth like this. And they need authority in order to get them back in line when they're out of line. Now, I'm telling you, your sons and daughters are just like these arrows. When they get out of line, and I suppose they do from time to time, they need authority in order to bring them back in line, and that's what these fletchings are. You see, when an arrow gets out of line, these fletchings, they catch the wind, and they create a pressure that forces the arrow back in line. And if it goes too far, now the pressure is down here. And as it's going through the air, that air, the wind, will push it back up again. And it brings it back in line so that it'll hit the mark. Now, I have some arrows that require great big fletchings because they're getting out of line all the time. They require a lot of authority to correct them if they're going to hit the mark. These particular arrows are so designed so that they need only small fletchings, very little pressure, minimal authority in order to keep them in line. Some of your sons and daughters require a lot of authority to keep them in line. Some of your sons and daughters require very little. When we were driving up here on Friday, some of you may have seen some authority along the side of the road. You know, those are the ones with the flashing lights. And when somebody is out of line, that authority puts pressure on them in order to bring them back in line. You know, parents, I want to encourage you this morning. Do not be afraid to exercise your authority that God has given you with your sons and daughters. For when they get out of line, if there's no authority there to bring them back in line, they are going to get farther and farther and farther and farther off course. Now, watch this. I'm watching for a couple of things now. Watch it. See how it gets bent out of shape, and then see how this arrow, when it gets out of line, will come back in line because of the pressure on it. I'll try another orange balloon. Are you ready? It's the principle of design, principle of responsibility, and now the principle of authority. I'm ready. Did you see it?
No.
Moms and dads, wouldn't it be really cool if your sons and daughters responded to your authority just that quickly? So that they need very minimal fletchings, hardly any at all correction, because they're in line and they just don't get out of line? That'd be cool. Here you go. Do you mind holding this?
No.
Okay. Fourth principle. What was the first one? What was the second one? What was the third one?
Authority.
Fourth one is suffering. Right across from Ron and Sandy's house, we moved to an old farmhouse over there, and we were on missionary support here at Fort Wilderness, and we didn't have much money, and I thought I could become an archer, and I could put meat on the table. And so I went to my dear wife, and I told her I wanted to buy my very first hunting bow, and I wanted to get some of that camo stuff that makes you look like a tree, you know, and I was going to become a hunter. And so I went, and I bought this bow. I went to the archery store, and there were all these bows, and I couldn't pick one out from another until finally I saw the one I wanted. It had a yellow tag on it. It said clearance. All right, because my wife had asked me, how much is this going to cost? And it was going to cost quite a bit. She suggested that maybe it'd be better to just go buy some groceries, you know, with that money. But I persuaded her that I could become a hunter. And so I got me some hay bales out there in the backyard, and I put some paper plates on it. And I got to the point where I could hit those paper plates pretty good. Unfortunately, I could never get the plates to stick to the deer, but that's a whole different issue. And it came time for hunting season, and so I got all dressed up in my camo stuff. And I got this stuff called essence of skunk. You know, they bottle that stuff. And I poured it on my boots, you know, so that they wouldn't be able to smell me. And I get up in this tree, and I'm up there, you know, looking like a tree, smelling like a skunk. And I'm all set, and nothing happens. I mean, I've been up there several evenings, you know, missing supper and all of these kinds of things, and there's nothing moving. And I know what my wife is thinking. You know, we should have just bought some groceries. But one evening, I'm up there, and I could hear this ch, 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 walking through the woods. And I won't tell you how thankful I was for these big ears, because I could hear them coming. And out of the woods, right in front of my stand, not more than 5 yards from the base of my tree, stepped a buck. Oh, man. My knees were shaking. My hands were shaking. My mouth got dry. My palms got sweaty. And that buck stopped right there in front of me. And as I went to draw my bow, I couldn't get it back. It was a compound like this one, and they have these wheels on them, and they're really hard at first, and then when the wheels roll over, it's easy, and you can hold it back then. But I couldn't get them to roll over. I'd never pulled my bow in this direction, all right? I'd always shot at a target that was out in front of me, never one that was down below me. And I'm trying to pull this back. I'm grunting. Deer hadn't heard grunts like that before. And stops and looks up at me in the tree, trying to figure out what that skunk is doing up there. And the arrow falls off the arrow rest and goes clanking down the tree. And as my arrow goes down, the tail of that deer goes up. And I'm sure I heard it say, na 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 na, as it bounded off. I learned an important lesson. It's this fourth principle of suffering. Because you see, every time I had gone out to practice, every time I had been shooting my bow, whenever it started to hurt, my back, you know, started to ache, or I started to get a blister on my fingers, I would always quit. And I never got strong enough to pull my bow in that awkward position. When the deer stepped out of the woods, it chose where it was going to walk. I couldn't put it where I wanted it to be. I had to take the moment that was given to me, and I wasn't prepared because I didn't want to suffer. I'd always put the bow up and I'd always quit, and I never got strong enough to pull it. I'm thinking there's a lesson, especially for parents, as you are working with your sons and daughters, because it is easy for us to try to eliminate all suffering for our kids. But I'm telling you, God can use suffering in our lives to build us up. There is that phrase, no pain, no gain. You understand that God allows suffering for purposes to strengthen us and to cause us to be more dependent upon Him. Since I had always quit, I was never ready when the moment of truth stepped out of the woods. Now, I am guessing that there would be a few of you here who could pull this bow back, but I'm guessing that probably more than half of you could never pull this bow because you haven't suffered. You're not strong enough. Because with suffering comes strength. May I suggest even supernatural strength that we can receive no other way. Let's try an orange one this time. Okay, I can hold this bow for a long, long time, and I'm ready. And I can hit the mark. All right. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is ownership. Could I hear you say that? Yeah. Hardest thing to do for me is not drawing the bow now. It's not aiming the bow. It's letting go of the arrow. And I'm convinced that one of the hardest things for you moms and dads is planning for that time in which you let go of your arrows. Arrows are not intended as trophies to hang on the wall. Arrows are intended to be cast forth to hit the mark. And so it is with our sons and daughters. They don't belong to us. They are simply ours to manage and direct and to yield up to the Lord for His purposes. It's understanding ownership of these arrows that makes a difference. Now, I do have some arrows that are trophies, and I have them on the wall at the house. I did this archery lesson on the stage of Communist Party headquarters back in 1992, and I was practicing with a bow that I had gotten there in Moscow. I'd never shot this bow before, and my first arrow ricocheted off of the parquet floor and stuck in the concrete wall. And when I pulled it off, a chunk of Communist Party headquarters came off. And I've got that hanging on a plaque at home. I got another one from Elmbrook Church. Elmbrook Church, I was doing this lesson, and I missed the whole thing. And the arrow disappeared through the wall. All there was a hole. 700 people went, ah! And I went, ah! And I didn't know what to do. I finished the lesson, and when it was all over, everybody came down, and they're looking at this hole in the wall, and then here comes the manager, or the custodian, you know, who was in charge of the thing, and I'm telling him that I'll make this right, and I'm sorry that I missed and all of this. I sinned right there in front of all those people, and he says, "Well, sir," he says, "that's not a wall. That's the acoustical screen for all the organ speakers." Oh my, all I could see at that point were dollar signs. And we went back there, and there's all these big woofers and tweeters in the room behind it, and here's my arrow sticking out. As we went in there, I looked and there were two speakers sitting this far apart, and the arrow had gone right between them. Because that arrow belonged to God. And he had protected me and directed that arrow. And I want you to know, your sons and daughters ultimately belong to him. It's our responsibility to direct them, to cast them forth. But God will direct their path all the way. Now, in order to make things easy for me to let go, I've switched over now to a string loop. Right here is a little string loop. And I have this trigger release. I simply hook it into that string loop like this. All right. And then when I pull, I make it really easy to let go. I plan for that release. And then all I have to do is to squeeze the trigger, and the arrow's gone. I plan for that moment of release. And I want to encourage you right now to begin thinking and planning for that day that you are going to give your daughter away to another man. Or you're going to send your son off to begin a career. That moment that you are going to release them so that it's a smooth release and that you don't flinch. Let's try another one. All right. Put the arrow in here. Hook my release into it. I draw it back. My finger's not even touching it. I make it real easy to let go of that arrow. I'm ready. Did you see my bow shake a little bit? That's the start of a flinch. I'm starting to get nervous about this apple. Okay, so it's design, responsibility, authority, suffering, ownership, and purity. Would you hold it for me? Okay. These arrows have got just field tips on them, all right? But they're sharp enough. Feel them? Sharp enough? It'll break a balloon. Feel this? Yeah. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to make the shot here, hit the balloon, only to have the arrow bounce off? I'm going to suggest that the sixth principle is a principle of purity. Could I hear you say that? Because arrows are intended to be sharp. Arrows are intended to penetrate. Arrows are intended to be straight so that they don't miss the mark. Now, I'm convinced that moral impurity is like shooting an arrow into a rock. It gets bent, the tip gets dull, and it's useless. It's useless to the mighty man because you never know where it's gone. It's going to go, and when you do release it, you don't know if it's going to penetrate or stick because it's been dulled. I'm convinced that it's important for parents to keep their sons and daughters morally pure, straight, and sharp. I'm doubly convinced that it's important for parents to remain morally pure, so that you too don't have your senses dulled to the presence of Satan and the distraction of sin. These should pop those balloons without any trouble. And it is the principle of purity. We'll try another one of the orange balloons. Are you ready? And then there's just one more before we do the apple. All right? I'm feeling pretty good about this now. Okay, I'm ready. Did you hear the pop? Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be for us to raise our sons and daughters only to have moral impurity steal them away? And they bounce off the target and they miss the mark. Last principle that the Lord gave me out there on the ski trail is the principle of purpose. Can I hear you say that? It's to give our arrows purpose in life, to aim them towards a specific point that the Lord has chosen for them, if you will, their calling in life. Now, when it comes to this bow, I have a little pin. Can you see that there? It's green. It's a fiber optic pin. Can you see that there? sitting right in here. It collects light, brings it to that point so I can see it very easily, and that represents the front sight, like on a rifle. And then I have this little dealie. That's a technical term, dealie, that fits right into the string right here. And when I draw the bow, this little dealie comes back to my eye. I look through that, and as I've got this point lined up with that little green dot, those two points determine a line, and that's how I aim. So when I'm saying ready, I've got this and this all lined up, and that gets the arrow pointed in the right direction. Now for you moms and dads, understanding what God is doing in the life of your son and daughter, and knowing your son or daughter's heart so that you can line them up. I am convinced that it is being irresponsible for us to say to our sons and daughters that they can just do whatever they want to. Because God has given you authority. He works in your heart to know your kids and to direct them so that they hit the mark. And God will use you to point them in the right direction. Doing this archery lesson in a big hotel in Indianapolis, and they had me set up in a ballroom. And in this ballroom, they had a floor-to-ceiling mirror, and I was shooting right into the mirror. And I'm going to think, this is really, really weird. There's going to be a guy there who looks just like me. He's got big ears and the whole bit. He's got a bow just like mine. And as I draw, he's going to be drawing. And I'm shooting at him, and he's shooting at me. And it's going to be really weird. And then I'm thinking, if I miss here, all it's going to take is a little dink on that mirror, and it's all coming down. It's one thing to break off a piece of concrete. It's another thing to take down a whole mirror. But when I drew the bow and I looked through the peep sight, all I could see was the target. Because that little peep sight eliminated all of the distractions along the way. And I'm thinking for you moms and dads here, as you begin to direct your sons and daughters, it helps you make decisions as to the things that are important and the things that are merely distractions. Because there's a lot of things you could do out there. But giving a son or a daughter purpose in life eliminates all of those things they could do and helps you focus on the things that you must do. So I'm going to draw this. I have the last one there. And then we're going to come to the moment of truth. I draw it back, I look through the little peep, I put the green pin right on the target, and I'm ready. We've got them. We've hit the mark. Design, responsibility, authority, suffering, ownership, purity, and purpose in life. Seven principles by which you can look at your sons and daughters as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Okay, now, I need a volunteer. I need somebody who would be willing to let me put this apple on their head. I'm going to get these arrows here so that I've got plenty of arrows to work with. All right? I see a hand there. I see a hand there. There's a hand in the back. You know, it's interesting, I see a lot of kids' hands. I don't see many adult hands here. Scott, how about you? Becky, how about you? No way. Lois, where are you? No way, huh? This little guy right here. Look, your mom is smiling and sending you up here. No, I couldn't do that to you. No, no. I see there's a gentleman back there. Is that your wife there? Is she in agreement with this? She's shaking her head. No. How about you do it too? Oh, you said no. What about, there's a guy back there. There's another one. Hey, what's your name?
Sam.
Sam, you're a Chicago Cubs fan?
Yeah,
that'd be good. That'd be real good. How many of you want Sam to come up here and let me do it? Yeah. Come on. Okay, Sam, here we go. Listen, we need a chair for you to sit down. You're a little taller than that. Will this come apart here? Yeah, let's just, there we go. Okay, I got a chair here for you, Sam. Good. This is going to be great. Sam, we'll sit you right here. Now, remember, we're going to do it sideways. I tell you, or we're going to do it sideways. That way, if I do miss, just goes in one ear, out the other. Doesn't do any damage. A little far forward there. Scoot up a little bit farther. I don't want to miss the target back here. Okay. Now, see if we can get this to sit up there. Here, can you tip this hat back a little bit? There we go. There we go. Are you ready? Oh, that looks good. This is going to be good. Now, you never know what particular mark the Lord's going to give you to shoot at, you know. Whether it's going to be balloons or an apple or whatever it might be. But my prayer is that whatever mark the Lord gives you, you'll hit the mark and that you won't sin. This is your boy up there?
That's my son.
You brought him into this world?
Yes.
I could take him out.
Dad's got a camera.
Okay, what do you think, Dad?
Yeah, I'm for it.
He's getting his camera ready. Well, okay. Mom, would this be all right? I tell you what. If you don't want your son to do it, how about you let your husband do it?
Well, if he was willing to sacrifice our son, then maybe he should go up.
He could be a substitute. Wouldn't that be good?
No.
No.
I mean, you're a good shot. I don't feel
bad. He wouldn't even let me shoot it off of his head. There's not room, much room for margin up there. Okay, we need another substitute here. Up here. Oh, there's a guy up there that wants to substitute for that. Your parents here? Where are they? What do you think? That's your boy up there? So you're going to let him do it? Is his mom here? What does she say? What do you think, Mom? Can he do it? She's saying no. Sorry. Sorry. Okay, listen, I've gotten into situations like this before where somebody just won't let me do it. So I got another substitute that would be acceptable, I hope. All right. Lois, you got that substitute? MJ? All right, I got a substitute. Okay. What do you think? Okay. Hey, even Tom Robertson approves of this substitute. Yeah. And I'm sure his insurance agent would approve of this too. All right. So would this be a suitable substitute for your son, for Sam? Okay. Look at Sam. He's just sitting there. That's awesome. Sam. Okay. Sam, we got a substitute for you. Let me sit this down and we'll see if we can arrange this substitute. All right, I got the apple. You can stand up. All right, we can move that chair out of the way. I got to sit that substitute on something. Here we go. Put this here. We'll set this right here. Oh, he's a little crooked. That'll work. Can I have your hat? All right. Put your hat right on there. That'll be good. We'll put the apple right on top of that. There we go. She was pretty quick about that. All right. We got a substitute. Now, the thought has occurred to me that there is a substitute who offers himself in the place of each one of us. He was a suitable substitute, one that was acceptable, one that was acceptable to the Father. All right? He stands there in our place, or sits there in our place in that case of Sam. All right? But Sam, this is your substitute. This is you up there. All right? We're going to attempt to shoot the apple right off his head. All right? Are you ready? Hush fell over the crowd. Okay, I'm ready. He just got braces, too. I've missed the mark. This is embarrassing. And I've wounded the substitute. But isn't that what Scripture says? He was wounded for our transgressions. It was our sin when we missed the mark that caused him to hang on the cross as our substitute. Now, I really would like to hit that apple, but will you forgive me and let me shoot again like you did before? Yeah. Would you do that?
Yeah.
Would you? Now, if you forgive me, then I have to receive your forgiveness. That there are times in my life when I've missed the mark, and I did not want to go on because I had wounded those around me. And I'm guessing that there may be those here, even this morning, who have wounded those who are dear to them. Perhaps some of you have been wounded by those who are dear to you. Forgiveness is a matter of releasing a person from the punishment they deserve. And I would be up probably for manslaughter right now if you hadn't objected. But you've forgiven me. If I receive that forgiveness, I'm obligated to try again. It's called repentance, turning from our ways. I am forgiven because I've got a substitute. Oh, I better get an apple up there. Where did it go? And a hush fell over the crowd.
Yes.
I'm ready. Where did that go? Right in the same place. There's sometimes, if you keep missing the mark, sometimes you have to adjust your sights. I'm shooting a little low, a lot low. Would you forgive me?
Yeah.
Allow me to shoot again? How many times should you forgive somebody? We could be here all day. Okay. I'm ready. I'm getting nervous. Man, that's your hat now. Well, you're not worried about the hat. It's his head, right? You ever have days like that where you just can't get it right? Okay. Hey, now listen, that was pretty close. Is close good enough? You know, what did Jesus say? He said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm thinking that there is only one righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees. And that's the righteousness of Christ. Would you agree with me that our righteousness is but filthy rags? And that we are doomed to miss the mark? And indeed, there is only one. His name is Jesus. There's only one who's hit the mark. And he's pleased the Father. Think about that. You and I, even our best shots, are only close. But Jesus hit the mark for you and me. And he takes our sin, our misses, into himself that we might have his righteousness. But we keep shooting, don't we? Because his mercies are new every morning. I'm ready. I skinned it, and I didn't wound him. I hit the mark. Let's see if the apple will stick to the arrow. I don't think so. All I've done is peel it. And friends, that's all we'll ever do. Just peel it. Because it's only the righteousness of Christ that gains us into heaven. Would you agree? Amen. Amen. Lord, I ask you to take these words this morning. I ask you to impress them upon our hearts that we might understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That it is our responsibility to straighten up when we get bent out of shape. Knowing that we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, may we yield to authority in our lives. May we be godly authorities in the lives of others. Lord, may we embrace suffering as something that builds us up rather than putting us down. Lord, may we yield up things of this world, not claiming ownership, because I realize the more we possess, those things will possess us. Lord, we ask you to keep us morally pure. And Lord, I ask you to give us purpose in life, that by your grace, we might hit the mark as evidence of your presence in our lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and share these thoughts with you. And if you'd like to come up and see the bow, and if you want to stick around and I'll keep shooting at that apple, we can keep shooting at that apple until we give evidence of Christ in our lives. Amen.